In the beginning was the Word. When we read these words on Christmas morning, they feel like a counter to the words we hear the evening before. We gather on Christmas Eve and hear the birth story from Luke with its familiar moments of a baby born, swaddled, and laid down for bed in a manger. The Christmas story, as we know it, is so evocative of comforting images of life as we wished it were, that in the midst of adversity, we can make a home of the street or a shed. We can make a crib from a trough. We can make a family out of an unplanned pregnancy. There's a life parallel we can really feel the older we get. So we hear John in this context, and I don't know about you, but I feel like John wants to shake up our thinking. No, the story doesn't begin with the birth or with Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth and Zechariah, with angels or visitations. It goes all the way back, past Jerusalem and David, Moses, the patriarchs, the first human, to the beginning of creation itself. And John says that at that time, the Word was already there. Already there. What does that mean? In the U.S., we're fond of complex doctrines which undergird our faith. Or more precisely, we like that there are complex doctrines which undergird our faith. We just don't want to know them, right? So for many, this has this Trinitarian feel. Jesus and God are one. It's right there in the beginning, but perhaps not in the ways we're taught in catechism or church school. John opens with a both and view of God, which has Jesus coming now and beginning around at the beginning, being around at the beginning, as being a companion to God and also being God. For John, Jesus is the beautiful both and. But more importantly, Jesus then is beyond the baby and is precisely the baby, right? Both and. It's funny that every year we gather to hear the story of a baby born, of God coming to dwell among us in a very tangible and literal way, for God to become incarnate, to be a human being in the flesh. This is the great Christmas miracle. And yet, in our doctrine, our creeds, and in the public theology we share with one another, Jesus is the divine Word, cosmically beyond creation. Jesus, the true Superman, swooping down to save us. In the human-divine paradox of Jesus, divine, totally one. But we love the day which reminds us Jesus isn't only divine. John doesn't give us that. It seems quite the opposite. John seems to get us thinking about the divine Jesus, not the human. At least it seems that way. But that isn't the gospel's intention. Not when it points us instead to our own humanity. John plays with both the human and the cosmic at the same time. A persistent both and. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And this is one of my favorite lines. The image of Jesus, the Christ, the Word of God, coming as light in the midst of darkness is a palpable image, particularly in our darkest month. In our darkest times, in lives which seem overwhelmed with it all. But more subtle is the way John changes tenses to reveal to us the nature of Jesus, God, and humanity itself in one concise statement. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not overcome it. It shines now because it was not overcome then. It shines now, and tomorrow it will not be overcome. It shines now, but in the end, it was not overcome. From where God sits in the eternal present, right, past, present, future are one. It wasn't, isn't, won't be overcome. Today's light wasn't overcome by tomorrow's darkness when we get there, got there, right? A both and. And then even the human becomes cosmic. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. While Matthew takes great pains to avoid calling Jesus Son of God, like the other would-be messiahs, and Luke puts that name upon him as the ultimate Messiah, John does them both one better. He puts the name upon us. Through Jesus, we all become sons and daughters of God. We become Messiah's anointed ones. We become the divinely inspired who liberate humanity, the light which shines in the darkness and shines within us. The cosmic Christ of John becomes the very humanity of his followers, sons and daughters of God. We carry the light with us, within us. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. We have seen the light and become one with the light. We have become children of God. Our bodies are the incarnation. They are the manifestation of God's presence and the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The power of the Christmas story isn't found in its pastoral warm fuzzies, whichever one we embrace. It's found in its communicating, in the telling and the receiving, in the witnessing and in the responding. The power of the Christmas story is found in us and in our lives, in the work we do and in the community we build. We are God's children, full of grace and truth. Share that light wherever there is darkness, whenever it's dark and it was not overcome.